Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
One of the uglier games that you've ever seen, and doing things that I'm not sure I've ever seen before, the way that that end of the first half was managed and even the end of the game by Aaron Glass.
You know, listen, I think there's a lot of times here where we overreact or we maybe lump in previous failures and it becomes maybe a little bit bigger than it is in terms of, you know, just the emotion. I don't think anything that's been said, and I listened to the station this morning, I listened to calls all over social media, I don't think that there's anything that could be said today or will be said today that is unfair to the Jets, or more specifically unfair to Aaron Glenn. Somebody that we're all obviously rooting for, but Aaron Glenn at this point is absolutely overwhelmed. He is now lecturing the media, and he just sounds sloppy, not even knowing how far the field goal was. And, you know, I know that there's some checkpoints to get there, but I think for me the biggest fear is the Jets are going to have a top pick, you know, whether it's one or two or three, whatever, and they're going to take a quarterback. And the question that I am already asking myself that I didn't think I would be asking myself under any circumstance at this stage of his tenure, six games in, is Aaron Glenn the coach that you want to hand off and work with a first overall pick as a quarterback? And how do you say yes to that right now? How do you say yes?
I mean, but it's 6 weeks in. So there's a lot there. I mean, look at all the other coaches who we run out of town here, or the quarterbacks who run out of town. Like, I get what you're saying. So what do you want to do? Fire the head coach again and hire somebody new? And do you trust Woody to do that? Like, you don't. You loved Aaron Glenn more than anybody. You ready to give up on him after six weeks?
I wanted Mike Vrabel first. And I thought that Aaron Glenn would be much better than this. And I understand that if you look at what happened with Detroit, Dan Campbell, they lost however many. I understood, but it's taking like a dangerous turn. That exchange with Costello yesterday was so out of balance. Now, not that you can't have a bad moment, I understand that, but to tell a guy who's been covering the Jets for, 15, 20 years, however long he's been on the Jets beat, that's a bad question? No, coach, it's the most pertinent question you could be asked. The Jets had 1 yard with 2 minutes and 3 seconds to go in the second quarter. 1 yard. And you're going to flip the script on a guy doing his job, saying that it's a bad question? What are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I have more of an issue of what he actually did on the field. I couldn't care less about what he says with Brian Costello.
But it ties. I got you. Yeah. But to me, it ties in. Yeah. Like, because now if the on the field stuff was buttoned up,
right,
and he said that, I'm like, okay, what happens on the field does matter.
But I think that plays to the point of he's in a situation where he didn't realize that there was this much of an overhaul. Meaning that, like, it's so fragile with the Jets that the media, the fans, from week one were ready to pounce on Aaron Glenn when he didn't get the job done. Ready to pounce. Week two, same thing. Oh, nope. Awful. Can't have it. Awful. Get him out of town. Is he overmatched? And then that starts to snowball and build up to a point where nobody is going to have success. I remember almost everybody in this town ripping and questioning Todd Bowles, saying that Todd Bowles was in fact clueless. Now, not me, I happen to like Todd Bowles, but obviously what he did here was not great. Everybody was calling him clueless. Can't coach, what a horrible hire. How's Todd Bowles doing right now? He's one of the best. He's got one of the best teams in the league. And it's not just this year, it's not a fluke. So maybe we're doing the same thing again with Aaron Glenn. Now, I would say that yesterday, I don't know what the hell that was going into halftime, where you have a fake punt, you convert the fake punt, and yet you play not to score. Like, that just
not playing to win.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
How is that possible for a guy who was a good player and knows the game? Yeah. He's not trying to win.
Well, I don't know what is going on there. That is just inexplicable. He could say it. The offensive coordinator could say it. Like, I know why he's thinking that, meaning that, well, we can't move the football, and Denver's defense is good, and I don't want to give up a score. Let's just feel good here at half. But once you convert that punt, the fake punt,
yeah,
you've got to at least try to get in field goal range.
I agree.
Letting it run out makes no sense whatsoever. And then at the end of the game, to think for an offense that was negative 10 yards through the air on the day, to think that you were going to convert a 4th-and-8 or whatever it was.
4th-and-8.
Yeah, I don't care if the field goal was, in fact, 67, 68 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Your best shot, like, what do they think? They were down by 4? It didn't make any sense. So those things, to me, I need a legitimate explanation from him as to what the hell he was possibly thinking. But you want to take it a step further or go 9 miles further and say, well, is he the right guy moving forward? Look, it's 6 games. I mean, yeah, they hired him for a reason.
Mm.
I've got to give a head coach more than 6 games to decide whether he's going to be good or not.
Listen, I do hear you. I get it. You know, and listen, I mean, think about what's going on with the Giants here. Who knows where their season goes, but think about what we've said about Dable and how many people wanted to bounce him continuously. They might wind up being this great relationship with Dart, and the Giants become really good, and Brian Dable's here for a long time. I understand all, but... So I really do. I get it. And the last thing I want is to go through another press conference
right.
with another GM or another coach and hit reset. And it really is. I keep saying I don't care anymore. Like, that's kind of that's where I get. I don't care, but I do care when it looks like that, because that's worrisome. When it's one thing to lose and to not have a lot of talent, not have a quarterback you believe in, I'm just throwing things, not have an O-line, not have a defense. Understood. This was going to be a massive cleanup on right. aisle 8. We all knew that because they've been so bad for so long. But it doesn't seem like he has a clue.
Okay, but that's part of hiring somebody who's doing that job for the first time. Like, that's just part of it. You have to, and Jeff fans have to, and the media is going to do what they want, but that to me does not help. Jeff fans just have to lay off for a little bit. This is the decision that the owner made to hire him. You've got to stick it out. You can't just make rash decisions after 6 weeks and say, well, he's inept. And I thought the handling of the first half and the final, you know, decision there to go for it were absolutely asinine. However, the Jets should not, and I said this from before the season, should not be judged off of wins and losses this year. And there is going to be a learning curve with a new head coach. And Justin Fields stinks. Like, that, like, there are many factors here at play. And they got a bunch of losers there on the team that have been part of a losing culture for years. Years. Guys that didn't want to listen to Aaron Rodgers. A Super Bowl winning quarterback. MVP. They didn't want to listen to him. They thought he was the loony. No, they're the losers. They thought he was the one who was crazy. Now look what he's doing. Look what all the other guys who have been here before and failed, whether it's head coaches or quarterback, look what they're doing elsewhere. So it can't just be it's not Aaron Glenn. It's not Todd Bowles. It's not Sam Darnold. It's not Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's the Jets. So give them some room here. Again, it was horrific yesterday. A horribly coached first 6 games of the season. Any which way you slice it. He's a first-time head coach that is learning. That's part of why I would have hired somebody with experience in New York, because this market will chew you up and spit you out. They've done it with everybody before.
But think about this, like, when you're a young broadcaster and you get on the air, right? There's things you have to learn, like how to hit the break and how to set things up and how to go to the calls. And if something goes wrong, technically, how to kind of vamp and, you know, not let the audience know that things are going awry behind you. And that just comes with reps. So I agree that there are things that will get better and certainly should get better just with repetition. And I do, but you could be a 22-year-old kid out of college with a journalism degree and they throw a mic in front of your face. The first thing you have to have is an opinion. You gotta have an opinion. And I don't know if he has, now as I loosely translate, an opinion or a clue on how to coach. And the next thing that's gonna happen, and I don't know where you stand on this, but like, I don't blame Garrett Wilson. Now, he's lost a lot of games here. Garrett Wilson's walking off the field. Garrett, as they are huddling for that player at the line of scrimmage, you can see the life, the soul, the competitiveness being sucked out of his body as he just, like, meekly walks off the field. Like, what are we doing? And then he goes up to the head coach, and, you know, optically, is it the best look? Maybe not, but I thought Aaron handled that well. He put his arm around him, he diffused it, and Aaron knows he's competing, and I know he like, it's, that's not a big problem, but it is a problem when somebody who is a dog in Garrett Wilson doesn't believe that you're trying to win. He's not the only one. I know there's not a lot of guys in that locker room that deserve the benefit of the doubt or who have accomplished a damn thing. But if you are especially in football, if you're a football coach and your team doesn't think that you are doing whatever it takes to move the sticks and to try to win the game, don't even show up.
Yeah.
You got no chance.
I wouldn't care what Garrett Wilson has to say, honestly. So I would be more worried about Aaron Glenn and why he handled it that way. And I think the way that he handled it is in part because he is scared because of all the blowback that he's received. Now, that's on him. He should fight through that and say, I don't give a crap when anybody says, this is how I'm coaching and this is what I believe. But if they do go for it there, let's say, and are more aggressive and they turn the ball over and Denver scores, what do you think people are going to be saying? Oh, same old Jets going into the halftime, blowing through. Thing. So I guarantee you that that's part of a learning curve for a first-time head coach in this market that is thinking too much and afraid to be more aggressive in that spot. As for Garrett Wilson, did he want Aaron Rodgers here or not?
No, but okay. Neither did Aaron Glenn.
Okay,
well, and I don't think Woody Johnson did either. The whole thing with Woody's son. Who knows how that went
fair
down?
Enough, but that's a knock on Glenn.
I don't think anybody wanted him in the building, which says all you need to know about the building.
But the point is, Garrett Wilson could have benefited from learning from Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
And he didn't want to do that. So I can't get. And Garrett Wilson has been a losing player since he's been here. Now I get that Jeff fans haven't seen anything like him since Al Toon. So that's why you overrate him. And he's got elite skill level. Understood. You go put him somewhere else. Maybe he'll be a very solid receiver. I don't care about Garrett Wilson and what he has to say because he's been a losing player from day one and it's never changed. And he had the opportunity to change with a winning quarterback, an MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he didn't want to listen to him. So it's always everybody else with Garrett Wilson. It's not him.
Well, but think about this. Like, what's worse, you know, back to the play at the half here, because to me this signifies everything right now. Granted, it could get better, but right now. What's worse, making a mistake and ultimately losing because you try?
Right.
Or losing because you basically surrender?
Yeah, no,
you
losing
take the white flag. We're good. Now, we're all right. We don't have to compete. I don't know how you could have a worse look for a guy that I thought was going to be more bummed up. And by the way, if he didn't come in so aggressively, this is part of the deal with him, too. And this is why I was trying to tell him early on, dial it down, buddy. Tap the brakes. When you're telling everybody, we're not the same old Jets, we're not going to be this, we're not going to be that, and then you are so meekly accepting defeat, it puts the wheels in motion for constant criticism and eventually anarchy. And once the anarchy begins to infiltrate the building, who the hell knows what's going to happen? Because the owner is clueless. The defensive coordinator stinks. I don't know about the GM yet, and I'm terrified about the head coach.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. James is calling from Delray Beach. What's up, James?
What's going on, guys? I'm not going to touch on any of the coaching decisions from yesterday, because if I do, I may have a stroke on air. But I know we got it. We always say, like, we got to give him time. He's a first-time head coach. And then Muji's a first-time GM. Give him time. But we said that countless times with other regimes. And you're looking down the barrel of possibly having the number one overall pick. And if you screw that one up, then it'll make the Zach Wilson number two overall pick look like nothing. Like, that will literally send this franchise back decades. They may have to leave New York if they screw that one up. So, like, you really have to sit there for once in Woody Johnson's life. He has to sit there and actually make a good, like, decision, take his time and say, do I really want these two guys who are learning on the job and it's only getting worse and worse by each week, and the product that we see on the field is directly from them?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's turnover from past regimes, and there's guys that you're handcuffed to for this year, maybe next year, but everything we're seeing is a direct result from them, and it's only getting worse.
Well,
do I really want these two guys in charge of the number one overall?
It's a money question. Thank you, James, for the call. It really is. It's maybe going to be the question. Now, I don't know enough about Muji. He just got here, so I certainly can't say that he won't or can't identify the quarterback. And I'm not prepared to say that, you know, I absolutely will not allow Aaron Glenn to come back for a second year and coach that young quarterback. But the problem is there's no consensus first overall pick. There's no John Elway. There's no Andrew Luck. There's no Peyton Manning. So there's going to be three or four names, too, which played over the weekend, and Moore and Mendoza. And I watched that game. I'll give you some thoughts a little bit later. Mendoza looked really good. That's the short version. And Moore did not. But I don't know, Sal. I mean, he's not an offensive mind, so that's strike one. He seems completely overwhelmed. That's strike two. It's a dysfunctional, worst franchise in all those sports. That's strike three. There are really, truly times where it just seems like there's no hope.
Okay, but then what makes you think that it's going to get better if they fire Aaron Glenn and Mucci next year and do what? Who are they going to hire? That's going
to
drag.
Like, I don't know. But if you bring in, what about Gruden? And I almost hate to do this so early because you're right. It is six weeks in, but at least if you hire somebody who knows how to do it, don't you think the odds go up that you have a better chance to succeed?
It's why I would have hired Pete Carroll last year. So you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have hired an experienced head coach because I said all these things, but they didn't, and everybody loved it. Loved Aaron Glenn. So now you got to live with it. They made their decision. You're going to fire him to go get Gruden, who you could have had a year ago? That, to me, is asinine. That's really showing that you don't know what you're doing. Vrabel's a different story. Maybe they went after him. They weren't going to get him because they weren't in the spot as a franchise that was appealing enough to get Mike Vrabel. He wanted no part of the Jets, much like most people probably wouldn't want a part of the Jets. What do you think is going to happen with the next guy? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go fire. Now, I don't know if they're going to fire him or not, but let's just say in the hypothetical that they do, they'll fire Glenn. They'll go hire somebody else that's going to come in here, talk a tough game. We're going to rebuild this thing. They'll draft a first-round quarterback, and it's again going to be asked to be the savior. And after 1 week of failure, everybody's going to be calling and saying, this quarterback sucks. This head coach is overmatched. They don't got it because they don't have enough time to build it the right way. That's just how it is. To me, it's delusionville to think that you were coming in here having this season based on wins and losses. How could this team be any good? I didn't see it. And now they're 0-6. Did I think it was going to be this bad? Maybe not. And doing some of the foolish things that you saw yesterday from Aaron Glenn. So obviously there are some question marks. It's also year one, 6 weeks in. Like, it could change. You don't know. It could change in the next 6 weeks or so.
The correlation is ownership, and it's a broken record, and it's so much deeper than Aaron. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, and I know that this is a different conversation, but you just can't play Justin Fields a whole lot more. You just can't. I mean, Sal,
Tyrod Taylor's the answer?
No.
Come on,
no,
now.
Maybe Brady Cook. I don't know if there is an answer. There probably is not an answer. But I would think, and I would have liked to at least have the ability to see this happen yesterday. Like, if you pull Justin, even if you don't bench him, like, you could have just given Tyrod Taylor a couple of series. Excuse me. Maybe you squeak out a win. You got, for some reason, the Jets are actually favored this weekend. There's some winnable games coming up. Not that the season's going anywhere, but you owe it to the team to put your best foot forward. And I knew that Justin Fields was poor reading defenses. I didn't think he was this bad. He doesn't see a damn thing in front of him. He's terrified to let the ball go. There's not an ounce of anticipation. Like, at this level, you know the play. Take a simple 10-yard out. There was one of these with Garrett Wilson yesterday where you run 10 yards, you put your left foot in the ground, boom, you turn to the sideline. As soon as that left foot hits the ground, the ball's got to be out because Fields knows the play, and obviously the receiver does. He basically waits till he gets to the sideline, and guess what happens? When you do that, the corner knocks it away, and it doesn't help when it's three, you know, a foot and a half behind him. So I don't think that there's anything that Justin will do from a passing perspective that's going to change this. So when he's just not good enough. So when you have a chance to steal a game, I don't know. I mean, not that Tyrod's the answer. I know he's not long-term, but I wouldn't mind to see him yesterday. I really wouldn't have.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Rogers in the Bronx. What's up, Roger?
Hey, what's going on, fellas, man? Just wanted to say, I can't do it no more, man. I can't watch it no more. I've been a Jets fan for 40 years. It's just coach after coach after coach. It's just Aaron Glenn is not the coach. I don't care if you bring him in next year. I don't care if you keep him around. He's definitely not the coach. After what he did yesterday on the sideline at halftime, that just shows me this guy is scared of coach. He's scared to lose. He's scared. He don't know at all what he's doing. He's clueless on the sideline. And if I was Woody, I'd get rid of him today. Today, I'll be making the call. I don't care what coach we bring in. Start again.
Yeah, Raj, hold on, Raj. Yeah, I appreciate the energy. I definitely do. You fire him today. You can't say you don't care who you bring in because then it could actually, it can't be worse than 0-6. But, I mean, there's got to be a limit on just how little you give somebody to prove that they have a chance to be the guy. I'm not saying fire him today. I'm just saying I'm very worried that he's not the guy. But you got to give him a little more time, Raj.
I know somebody. I'll tell you like this. Whatever coach come in, I know they could do a better job than Aaron Glenn. I know we could have won at least one game this year of coaching. Whatever coach you, at least we would have won one game. Aaron Glenn is a joke. And I think he's only thinking just because he was a player with the Jets, he think his job is all good and everything. It don't work like that with New York Jets fans. For us, especially people who've been waiting almost 40, 50 years, for playoffs. Yeah. Not even the Super Bowl, for just the playoffs.
Yeah.
So if he thinks he's just going to sit on the sideline and think, oh, we're going to wait around another 2-3 years, yeah, he's going to be gone by the end of this season. I guarantee.
Yeah, and how's that going to work out for you, Roger? And thank you for the call.
And he's not thinking that, Roger. I think that's not that you try to disrespect him directly, but I think to think that Aaron doesn't know the deal and the repercussions and New York, he played here, he's been a coach, he's grinded his way up. I mean, nobody's here to disrespect the man, but I don't know how you could be around the game for so long and actually oversee that before the end of the first half and think that that's the way to go. Yeah. I've never seen anything so bad in my life.
That was ugly, but it is part of a learning curve with a first-time head coach. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. How many different guys do we need to see it? How many guys do we need to see it with? Robert Saleh, Adam Gase, like, how many guys? Todd Bowles. How many times do we need to see it? It's the same thing.
It is.
It's the same thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
But we obviously talk Jets here. You mentioned a little bit before, BT, with the Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor thing. I actually couldn't believe that some people were making a big deal about that yesterday on social media. I saw a little bit of it. that's what we've gotten to now, where it's, you've got to get to Tyrod Taylor! You've got to play Taylor! Okay, a career backup. For what purpose exactly? I mean, that made not once watching that game did I think about Tyrod Taylor, period. Now, here's Aaron Glenn explaining why, in fact, he did not go to Tyrod Taylor. Just talking about Justin Fields' game after watching the tape, I guess, this morning.
You know what? Here's what, you know, I thought about this a lot last night. I thought about the question that was asked. And when you look at what Justin did, the games that he played, listen, I didn't think he was bad at all. I actually thought he did some pretty good things in those four games. In this fifth game, he took a step back, you know, and I'm with you guys 100%. And we can't have that, you know, we have to get better than that. And he knows that. And he knows that better than anyone, you know, so. I don't think you just try to bench a player after having one true bad game, because I thought the other games he played fairly well.
Yeah, now look, you're also going up against one of the best defenses in the NFL. Like, nobody's going to hide it. We all saw it. Justin Fields stunk yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you think Tyrod Taylor would have done any better?
Well, you don't know. I mean, but Tyrod Taylor's better throwing the football, and he always has been. Justin Fields is an athlete. There was nowhere to go. He was not running the ball. Nobody holds the ball more. Very inaccurate. It's just a little, and I appreciate Aaron's candor there. He's like, you know, I do. I think that that's part of the growth and part of the maturation. I think that he understands that he messed up. Or I want a little more consistency. Like, if you cut guys for muffing a kickoff, it's okay to bench a guy if he's not having a great day. And it doesn't mean that you keep him tied to the bench for the rest of the year. You know, hey, listen, otherwise, why do you have a backup quarterback? I mean, so like the backup quarterback is not just there in case the guy gets hurt. Historically, there's been situations in the NFL where the backup quarterback is also a spark.
Right.
Where things aren't moving and the chains aren't moving and the offense is stagnant. It doesn't mean you make the move to Tyrod Taylor for the rest of the year. Nobody wants to see that. But to try to salvage a game for the rest of the guys on the field, I wasn't really thinking about it in real time, to be fair.
Right.
But if he would have done it, I would have been like, all right, it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if he would have done it, I would have been shocked. But what's more valuable, seeing what you have in Justin Fields, the young quarterback that they chose? And again, I didn't like Justin Fields, but considering what they needed here, year one of a rebuild, versus going to Tyrod Taylor there, for what? Like, for what? To get a meaningless win, if that, like, people make it like it's guaranteed. I watched Tyrod Taylor play. We both said it the next day afterward. You could see that they clearly missed Justin Fields and his potential to be explosive, if not with just his legs alone. So I think that was more about the Denver defense than it was about Justin Fields. He was scared. He didn't want to let go of the football. Fair enough. Tyrod Taylor's not much better. Now, you could say he's a veteran. He's seen a little bit more. Tyrod Taylor's not great throwing the football down the field. So that wouldn't have been a good, to me, that wouldn't have been a good option either.
And by the way, they have nobody who's open. I mean, they're kind of buried outside of Garrett Wilson. I mean, I don't even know half of these receivers' names. It's really gross. But I think that, you know, yesterday, so like a meaningless win, and what would it really mean? Well, I mean, in terms of the season, not much, but in terms of the change of the culture. See, this is where it gets a little nuanced for a head coach who is trying to flip a script that has been hellish for basically a decade and a half here. If you win yesterday, if you go to Tyrod, and if you do win, now the tone in practice is a little different, and maybe it bleeds into the Carolina game, and maybe one win becomes two. And not that it's ever going to become 9 or 10, not with this group. There's too many deficiencies, but like you've got to at least get a foundation. And when you keep losing, and you have to, but there was some Connor Hughes had some stuff last night where he was talking about where even going back to training camp, there were guys off the record who thought that Tyrod Taylor was a better fit than Justin Fields.
Okay.
So if they were thinking that back then when they were 0-0 as a record, you know, you have to wonder, like, does the locker room now become fractured? Which, again, most of these guys won't be here when it turns around, if it ever turns around with Aaron Glenn. But you've got to try to find a win where you can. And sometimes a win is not even a literal win. It's just energizing a locker room with something different. Like, that stuff matters.
Tyrod Taylor, we saw him play against the Bucs, right?
Yeah.
And how'd that game go?
Listen, yesterday was, and not just because, awful. It didn't go well.
Well, I'm just saying.
I know. Yeah. Awful. They're not
And they
not
got
pretty.
Back in the game, not because of anything Tyrod Taylor did, because of a block kick.
And all the penalties. I mean, Tampa just basically had 9 penalties in the first half that game.
It was
gross.
Yeah.
But yesterday, when you look at the sacks and the negative 10 net yards, which is the worst in Jets history, which is saying something, and the worst in at least 27 years in the NFL, like, I get it. You know, nobody's saying Tyrod Taylor is coming off the bench, you're going to be Dan Marino, but you couldn't be worse than Justin Fields. And when there's such a substandard level of play, I think you owe it to the team to at least investigate that. And for him to not even, I think, consider it is a little alarming.
Okay, one more from Aaron Glenn today, talking about the issues going into, or the way that the Jets handled the offense there going into halftime, and you know, the end of the first half.
You know what? As I thought about that, and I think the question was asked about the confusion part, when you look at it, man, it was the ref said first down. And that's when we were like, you expect the ball. And someone else said, no, it's not. It's fourth down. And at that point, man, if we tried to run and play, I thought that's where real confusion is going to come from. So at that point, our staff had just talked about this the day before. That, man, let's try to see if we can get three, defer at the beginning of the game, try to get 3 points out of the halftime, then come back the second half and try to get points again. But you know what? To be honest with you, I wish I could have took the clock down to 5 seconds and just threw a Hail Mary, to be honest with you. But at that point, I want no confusion. Let's just get out the half, guys. We're getting the ball back the second half, and let's get ready to go.
You know what that sounds like to me? A head coach who's learning on the job. That's part of the deal when you hire a first-time head coach. It was ugly. It was inexcusable, unacceptable. It can't happen. That's a first-time head coach learning there in that situation.
Yeah, understood. And that's why, like, I'm not saying I'd fire him today, but the fear, that's why as I push this a little forward, the fear is ultimately, will there be enough, or the question is, will there be enough growth the rest of this year to give him a number one pick that's a quarterback?
Okay.
And I don't really have the answer for you now.
Right, no, we got to wait and see how it goes. Now, I'm not so sure. And by the way, even if the Jets won that game yesterday, we'd still be having a similar, like, to me, it wouldn't be like, oh, the Jets won. Aaron Glenn's the man.
No,
like,
no, it definitely wouldn't be that.
Let's just say that they decided to kick the field goal at the end, a 60-whatever, 3-yard or whatever it would have been.
62.
Okay, and he would have hit it. Like, does that change what happened at the end of the first half? No. Does that change what we've seen the first 5 weeks? No, at least you can say, well, they got to win. Okay, great. 1-5. What's the difference? 1-5, 0-6. You need to see consistent play. At least the penalties were cleaned up yesterday a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some signs to see, well, maybe there was some progression. Denver is a very good football team. And defensively, the Jets played pretty well yesterday.
They did. And listen, the Jets defensively with Jermaine Johnson are a different team.
100%.
He's a different player. I knew he was good. I didn't really realize he had that much impact on the defense. So there's no doubt they definitely did some things well. The penalties, only had a couple. The defense was much better. Denver's a good football. I agree with all that stuff. But it's not a meaningless win when you then have a chance to, like, stack one against Carolina.
Right.
That's where you know, you start to maybe win the room over and the emotion flips and the you get a little momentum. You start playing downhill. Now you're still looking for the first one instead of trying to get back to back.
I get it. He needs a win desperately because that will calm the O for Jets, the LOL Jets, at least calm them for a day. Okay, well, they can win a football game. Let's not remember, though, what happened week one. I mean, week one, everybody was ready to hear.
It's the best they looked.
Okay.
It's the best they looked.
I understand it. It was against a very good Steelers team. Even week one, maybe, you know, teams are still learning. It's an extension of the preseason. But what they did offensively to me was what they need to get back to, running the football. They didn't do that. Yesterday, they played a great defense. That was a tough matchup. Let's see what they do moving forward. If they could clean up the penalties like they did yesterday, if the defense plays like they did yesterday, more often than not moving forward, they will win some football games. I do think Justin Fields will get better, again, to his. He's not a great quarterback, but he'll be able to run against some other teams. Denver defense is pretty freaking good. And Aaron Glenn's going to learn from his mistakes here. What does it all mean? Who the hell knows? Does it mean that I would trust him wholeheartedly with the number one pick? No, I don't know I don't know who the Jets could possibly hire that I would trust right now with the number one pick. Even Gruden we could poke holes in. Even we talked about Pete Carroll, the guy I would have hired. Look at what he's done with the Raiders. Like that has not been pretty there, picking his guy with Geno Smith, bringing him in there. So it doesn't mean that just because Aaron Glenn may look awful right now, it doesn't mean that there's a better option immediately to go select the number one quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, they're not locked into Justin Fields long term. I thought it was a smart move on a mid-20s quarterback that's an amazing athlete that played with Garrett Wilson in college and, you know, had shown some incremental progress. I talked about this, you know, each year, you know, 2-3 points up on the percentage, not a lot of picks, a couple of touchdowns, he could run, but they are not married to him financially, which obviously is a good thing. $20 million this year, 20 next year, 10 of which is guaranteed. So if they want to just hit the parachute cord and get rid of him, which I think that they will, there's obviously a nice means to do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That's just too early. Yeah, I got my daughter hopping in bed in the morning and wanting to, you know, play a game because daddy's home from work, obviously, and watch a movie or watch a show. Before you know it, it's 9:30 and the game's about to kick off. And then I go watch and I'm like, good God, this is not football. You watched football yesterday, not at 9:30 in the morning. That wasn't real football between the Jets and the Broncos.
The Jets don't play real football. Yeah. Like I've been saying for years, there's two NFLs. There's the one the Jets do, and then there's the rest of the league here. You know, and listen, if you want to keep going and do the London series here, then do what they do with soccer. Just offer some relegation. Like, you know, really, like what they do for soccer teams. I think I said this to you last week. What they do for soccer teams, if you're really, really bad and you don't achieve whatever the threshold of achievement is, I'm not even sure because I don't really watch soccer, but you then get relegated to a weaker division. So what they should do in the NFL is if you're as bad as the Jets, you should be relegated to no TV. You can listen to Bob Wischusen. You can listen to the apps if you want. But when you're that bad, no TV.
Yeah, I'd rather listen to Bob Wischusen than that broadcast yesterday. That was can't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pick on anybody.
Yeah, no, he's not a good play-by-play guy.
Come on.
And I like Rich. He's not a good play-by-play guy.
Come on, dude. Come on. It's just, they got to stop with this.
Kurt's good, but Rich is just not a play-by-play guy.
And even Kurt yesterday was like dumbfounded by what was going on. Somebody needed to tell him, like, Kurt, you do realize this is the Jets.
You get, right? And you still have to speak.
He's like, yeah.
It's still your job to tell us what you're seeing, even though it's very, very tough to distinguish.
Did you do the pod live yesterday?
I did. I went right after, of course,
Clocks
man.
Clocks at zeros. There you go. Brunch with BT.
Almost 50,000 views already. Jet fans jumping in. Of course I did it, yeah.
BT and Sal, the fan, WFAN, NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
BT and Sal, you can't start a Sunday like that. Brutal, just really tough to watch. You know, with family, friends, got my 2-year-old grandson on my lap, Rory. Bloody Marys, eggs, bacon. We got the whole thing going. And to watch that before the first half. Now, I did like what you guys did, that clip before. Yeah, he's going to learn. But you got to know that before. That's basic football 101 and having a football IQ. And
let me interrupt you there for a second. You're right, Charlie. You should know that beforehand. Look around the league at a lot of these inexperienced first-time or second-time head coaches. They bungle routine things all the time.
Without a doubt, Sally. You know what? And it's amazing that the salaries they make that they don't know. And then you throw the Hail Mary. All you get, you get a pass interference. You cannot end the half on a defensive penalty. So then you get another shot at the end zone or the field goal. So you had nothing to lose, and you're not giving the ball back to Denver. So he was making excuses yesterday, and I hate excuses. Glenn ain't going nowhere. We're not going in that circle anymore. What we did last year, we fired the coach on the way back last year. Our season ended up even worse. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Got to give the guy some time. Am I happy with what's going on? No. But I'm tired of the revolving door coaches out there in the Meadowlands. Yeah. I'm tired of it. And I'm also pleased. Everybody, call the station. Do not talk about Woody. Woody's not going anywhere, okay? I hate when people, we got to get Woody. Woody owns the team. He's making our money. But we got to go in the right direction. We got to give these two guys the right time, and we got to do it. It's got to be growing pains, and it's already growing pains. And it's
Charlie, how's the referee going? You know, Charlie's a referee out there on Long Island. How's the refereeing going? Yeah.
It's going good. A lot of blowouts in my game so far.
No issues with parents?
Parents are very tough, buddy. You know what? I'm doing it for 30 years. They all know me. You know what? They all know me. So, you know what? Everybody knows the game better than the referees, and everyone knows the game better than the coaches. You know, that's part
of it. There you go, Charlie. Nice, Charlie. I'll tell you, the only people that should be more pissed than Jet fans yesterday, really, the Jets offensive line. Because for people who didn't watch the game, they're like, "Oh my God, the Jets gave up 9 sacks." Yeah, too bad. Every one of them was on the quarterback. And just a little context here. So I would not have guessed it would have been Caleb Williams, but Caleb Williams has the longest average from a snap to throw of 3.05. So they are creating a nice pocket and giving him time to throw the football. And the median, so the average, is 2.65. Yesterday, Justin Fields had almost 4 seconds to throw, which is basically a second more than Caleb Williams, who has the most time to throw in the NFL. This was not a situation where, you know, hike, and you got three guys in your face. This is a situation of a young player who either didn't see what's in front of him, or once he did, was terrified to let it loose.
Yeah, and that's a problem, but that's him, right? He's not very good. I mean, there are going to be days where, again, I think Denver's the best defense in the NFL. You know how I felt about Denver coming in? I thought they were the best team in the AFC. Obviously, they didn't look great yesterday, certainly offensively. They got weapons all over the place, and their defense is absolutely loaded. So that's a tough task for any quarterback, but especially one who's a little bit skittish, mm-hmm. potentially, and is not known for even when he did throw it, it's behind somebody, it's over somebody, like... He's just not an accurate thrower. He's got to be able to run, and none of that was there for him yesterday.
True. And listen, the one thing, too, we talked about Garrett Wilson at the start of the show, and I love him. I really, truly think he's amazing, and I do think he's one of the best receivers in football. However, one of the things that's always worried me, like when your best player is that small, like he's thin, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's this year with Fields or next year with a rookie who's probably going to be a little inaccurate, kind of, you know, finding his way here. You know, it's nice to have that top receiver that is just taller and you can throw up some 50-50 ball. When was the last time you saw Garrett Wilson get a 50-50 win?
He's not a physical guy.
You can't get that.
God, between him and Sauce, I mean, they're, you know.
Yeah. Do they feed them at the facility?
It's exactly right.
Do they have a weight room in Florham Park?
Those two guys are string beans.
They are.
I don't get it. I want a nice physical beast at
receiver. Give me Megatron, will you?
Yeah, really. Or at least somewhere in between. Eric is in Delaware. What's up, Eric?
Hey, bud.
Hey, bud. Hey, guys, I'm a happy Jet fan today, BT.
There's why? No such thing.
First overall pick, Glenn Gunn, why?
No, because I'm rooting for 0-17. I went into this season. Hmm. My motto is expect the worst, never be disappointed. And they are helping me out.
Okay, but why are you happy? By the way, they're not going 0-17. There's no chance. So you're happy today because they have a chance for you to be proven right or because you want somebody fired? I don't understand why you're happy.
First of all, I would love Aaron Glenn fired. It's not going to happen. They're not going to go 0-17. But do you really trust these people to pick a quarterback? I don't.
No, I mean,
so they
not
all
yet.
Gotta
no,
go.
No. I mean, not really. No, I said that. Well, I'm with you.
Do you trust them to pick the right coach?
No, I don't trust this organization at all. I mean, epitome of this regimen right now. He called a timeout to run a fake punt to run the clock out.
Yeah, I know that makes it made
yeah, I mean,
that made I mean, come this, on, that made no, they never let on the
good
plane
God
then.
Almighty.
Yeah, it just makes no sense. And thank you for the call, Eric.
Thanks, buddy.
The ultimate aggressive move, calling a fake punt in that spot, and then the exact opposite followed that. With not even doing anything. Throw it out, for goodness sakes. I'm not saying you got to throw a Hail Mary, go for the end zone. Throw it out. Try to get in field goal range. Take
do
a
anything,
chance.
Do anything. You know what's really painful, too? Like, I'm looking at this now. So, it's Carolina next week. Jets are small favorite. If you don't know, Jets are favored by, I think, a point and a half. Then it's
It'll be Carolina, dude.
I mean, I know. Listen, they might.
Carolina's actually not as bad as it may seem.
I agree. They're running the ball a little bit.
That's a game they got to win.
True. And then you got at Cincinnati, right, without
Winnable,
Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Then you got a bye week, and then you've got the Browns at home with no offense.
Right.
So
heave ho, three in a row.
Yeah, but I'm saying which I don't even get excited about this stretch here because all the potential wins early, like I'm like, oh, maybe they could beat Miami. They could put some points up against Dallas. I didn't think they'd have a good chance to beat Denver going into the game, but as the game unfolded and you look back, you're like, nah, it's a game you probably should have won. I mean, Denver gave you a lot. Denver gave up a 78-yard kickoff return. They had a ton of penalties. They did a lot of things wrong. The Jets still didn't win. So there was a path for the Jets to actually have a season that I think could have instilled some hope in the fan base. Instead, here we are, 0-6, fire this guy, bench that guy. Typical Jets.
But I do think it still could look very different in 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Now, I'm not saying I'd bet on that to happen, but it could. And that's why you don't want to overreact to just 5, 6 weeks in the NFL.
Yeah.
There is a path. Like, they realistically, look, even the worst NFL teams figure out a way to win a game. So, man, now maybe we're looking at 0-7. Who the hell knows? Maybe the Jets shoot themselves in the foot yet again. Maybe Glenn bungles it yet again, whatever. But maybe they don't, and maybe they win. And then what? Maybe they do follow it up with another one. Like, you don't know. What if they win 2 of the next 3? Is everybody starting to calm down a little bit and saying, all right, well, 2-7 is not 0-17.
Yeah.
And then maybe they win a few more games. Like, they could end up with 5, 6 wins still.
Yeah, but remember, Sal, for me, and I think for most Jet fans, it's not the fact that they're winless.
It's the other nonsense.
The lack of belief in him knowing what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. We'll get to Pete Alonso as well on his contract demands. If you haven't seen that, 7 years is what Pete apparently is going to be looking for. Okay, we'll talk about that later on in the show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.